the Good Shepherd. Here in Maine, we have an image of sheep hanging around well-watered green pastures or perhaps commuting in and out of a barn with well-fenced pastures and plenty of food. Rarely do we see a shepherd with them. Not so in Canaan. Sheep were and are relegated there to the foothills, where there is little water and little food. The sheep are always on the move, looking for new grass, and the shepherds lead them, calling to them, and the sheep keep pace. They know their shepherd, and they know that they are being led well. This was the life of David before Samuel anointed him, and it is the life of countless Bedouin today. Now, Psalm 23 is a direct lift from the imagery of that life. Each line of the psalm describes what the people would have known of the faithfulness of the shepherd and the dependence of the flock on him or her. As the people of Dubai found out this week, desert storms can be hard, and water may come in torrents that can sweep sheep away. So green pastures, still waters, and a sense of well-being due to the shepherd is very real. This week we went up to the eastern townships and drove past the very deep gorge at Quaticook. The pedestrian bridge there is a suspension bridge. It's the longest in North America, and at 150 feet above the river, as my sister will attest, can be somewhat scary. As we drove past on Thursday, we saw what looked like a father and daughter crossing that bridge. I suspect that many of us would not linger to sightsee on the bridge, but the dad was showing the daughter the view, and they seemed oblivious to the distance to the bottom. We didn't get out and interview them, but I suspect the calmness of the father gave a sense of safety and well-being to the daughter, and they seemed happy to be gazing out over the railings. A mashup of faith, steadfastness, and constancy all captured a moment. Life is usually not that dramatic, but we are surrounded by similar daily events where we, by knowledge, rely on others. Now, years ago, my ship made a visit to a small Dutch port. The town invited the crew to a party, and I went with a group of perhaps 100 sailors to the event. There were lots of townspeople there mingling with the sailors, with plenty of refreshments, and the noise level of the happy voices kept increasing. I was speaking with the mayor when he decided he wanted to address the crowd, which at that point seemed to be its own living being. But I called the sailors for attention, and the room went silent so quickly that the mayor was stunned. I expect he figured that it would take some time to quiet the group. In truth, I was surprised also, but that is the point. The sailors knew that if they heard my voice, that it meant something, and they turned to listen. It would not have worked with the mayor's voice, or even one of the sailors. But at that point, we had spent a very long time in a relationship, and the crew knew that I would not call to them without an immediate purpose. That's the point of the psalm and the gospel for today. We are led by God in our lives, like the sheep, and in fact the sailors. Not every moment is carefree. Our lives, like that of the sheep, are full of good and bad, hard and easy. God is our shepherd. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, that of Psalm 23. And just as in the psalm, if we have faith and rely on our shepherd, he will take us through the dangerous times. Now there are a couple of other major points in the text. First, Jesus tells the disciples that they are not the only ones. The inference, as I read, is clearly that the people of Israel are not the only people called by God, and that there are many, many others, like us. I think that this becomes foreshadowing of Jesus' later charge to the disciples to go throughout the world to share the gospel. And second, we have Peter's challenge to the leaders he responds to after the healing of a man in Jerusalem. His is a statement that this miracle was not of them, that would be Peter, but of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the one through him is life, though they have rejected him. Now finally, we have the epistle writer making it very clear. I have the impression that in contemporary American Protestantism, there's an overriding question of personal salvation, the question of where you will be if today is the end. You've seen the signs about that along the roadside. John is making the pastoral point that life in Christ is not an end times question, nor is it an intellectual one. It is rather something very immediate in this life right here. We are to testify of God not only in our words, but in what we do, who we are. It's not just in whether we engage in specific activities, but rather in what we do day in, day out, in the everyday. The French have a word for it, quotidien, perhaps mundane, the course of our lives. John is repeating the commandment that Jesus gave the disciples, that they were to love each other, just as they have been and are loved. That means, I believe, that we don't even need to think about it, that a routine, first nature, is to act in love toward each other. And that's the hard part, right? At any given moment, we're immensely unlovable people, each of us. So what's to do? Well, the easy part is this. We love each other because we are each God's creation. We love each other because of the peace of God we see in the other person, or even if that peace is, to us, very hard to discern. We love each other because it is all within God's creational plan. Just as the people of Israel could not survive and prosper outside of the creational plan, thus the Exodus lesson of community, so it is for us. If we fail to live in community, which by definition must be based on God's love, then we're just a bunch of individuals bent on our own personal goals and not those of our creation. Our daily challenge is how we integrate the lessons of today's text with the personal goals we establish for a myriad of things. Now, we can't do any of this on our own. There are too many voices, too many seductions, too many things of all sorts that focus us everywhere except on the lessons of the text, the love of God and what he calls us to do. And as we said before, a few people wake in the morning with a compelling urge to do evil, though that is, in my view, a distressing reality, however small. No, it really depends on whether we are like Nipper, the RCA Victor dog, focused on his master's voice. We live in God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, by the guidance of Scripture alone, so that each day we may live our lives giving all the glory to God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. Amen.